Did you know that you are two-thirds invisible? That's what the Bible says. Here is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says there, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Whether you know it or not, it's true. You are two-thirds invisible. Let me just show you what that means. You feel cold? You feel warm? You could tell when it's humid? Your physical body is your connection with this physical realm. That's easy. Your soul is you, your personality, your mind, your emotions, and your will. Also invisible, your spirit. Your spirit connects you with God. Your spirit is where you sense guilt, where you have this realization that you have done something wrong. Please be aware of the fact with me this morning as we proceed through this wonderful passage, Romans chapter 8. You are two-thirds invisible. Two-thirds of you cannot be seen. Now, in order for you to live as God directs you to live, you need to operate your life as follows, and I mean this with all my heart. You need to operate from your spirit. Spirit first, to your soul, to your body, and not vice versa. I'll show you exactly what that means from the Bible today. When you listen to God speaking quietly to your spirit, you're operating from your spirit. When you make a decision and you first consider what does God think, you're operating from your spirit. Your spirit is designed by God to influence your soul, and your soul influences your body. That's the way it is. Now, let me ask you a question as we begin today. When was the last time you engaged your mind and then you're going to make a decision, so you're starting to use your mind. You're starting to think. You engaged your mind. And then engaging your mind, you begin to wonder whether or not you should do that. You see, there's something going on the inside beneath your mind when that happens. Do not put your soul ahead of your spirit. That is not the way God meant for you to live. I'll show you that as we go. When you leave also your spirit completely out of the equation, then you're living primarily in your personality and your physical body, and you don't even think about your connection with God. Having said all that, when you arrive at work tomorrow and the following occurs, there's a big issue that has to be resolved. If the first thing you go to is to your mind instead of your spirit, you may have more grief throughout the day. If you learn to listen to what's going on in your spirit and then use your mind, emotions, and your will, and then, of course, your body in action, you will find much better progress in your relationships, in the problem, in whatever it is that you have to address throughout the day. Now, I've titled today's lesson, Led by the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that all of life, all knowledge, and all wisdom is found in him. We thank you, Lord, that he is the one that you have sent into this world to provide all that we need. I would ask, Lord, this morning that you would give to us another new sense of who he is. We pray that, dear Lord, today you'll give us an awareness of Christ, that we are here to worship him, that your spirit has been sent to our spirits, dear Lord, that we might glorify him. Father, wherever your word might be being preached, whether it's in this town or state, our country or the globe, we ask, Father, today that as your word goes forth, it would go forth in great joy and power to the excellence of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We give you the thanks in his name. Amen. So led by the Spirit, deep inside of you is your spirit. Beyond your feelings, beyond your imagination, beyond your desires, I'll say to you as we begin this morning that the most critical part of your being is your spirit. It's so important that you have this sense if you are a Christian. So I'm going to say to you as I begin this morning that this is a message to your spirit. Yes, I say something that's physical. You think something. Yes, that's your soul. But I want you to realize that anything that's being communicated this morning from God's word is a word to your spirit. Listen with your spirit. Respond with your spirit. Enjoy with your spirit. Realize that God has given to you this amazing part of you, completely invisible to everybody else, but you know that there is something deep within you referred to in the Bible as your spirit. I do have a message for your mind. I do have a message for your feet. I want you to do something. But I have a message for your spirit. Now think about the wonder of creation. And this is so, always so marvelous. A creator who has created you, spirit, soul, and body. A genius whose name is God. He made you, spirit, soul, and body. The loving, perfect creator designed you to operate first in your spirit, then in your soul, and then in your body. I honestly hope I haven't confused anybody this morning, and I know I have said a lot. Some people call it Christian psychology. It is not Christian psychology. It is Bible humanity. You are a spirit with a soul in a body. I want you to read with me this beautiful passage in Romans 8. Let's start at verse number 9, please. Romans chapter 8. I think it's wonderful when you follow along in your own Bible. So Romans 8 and verse 9 says the following. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive, quicken, your mortal dead bodies by his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thank you, Lord, for these words. In a very few words, in a little paragraph in your Bible here, we have got lots of reasons why God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. But I want more than reasons. I don't want just biblical reasons. Would you with me think about whether or not you are operating from your spirit first? As good as reasons are. Just a couple things I want to pass on to you from the passage, just one after another. I just want to say one, two, three, four. I just want you to see just exactly what it says there so that you will think, but so that you'll also respond by your spirit. Notice with me that some are in the spirit and some are in the flesh. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, some are in the spirit, some are in the flesh. You see that? You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if anyone doesn't have the Holy Spirit, he is none of His. Now, folks, that is not complicated, but that should register in your spirit. Think carefully about what the Lord says when you read about the Holy Spirit. All who have the Holy Spirit belong to Christ. All who belong to Christ have the Holy Spirit. Those who do not belong to Christ do not have His Spirit. Those who do not have His Spirit do not belong to Christ. It's not difficult. It is not. God, the Holy Spirit, is both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Can you see that in the verse there? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ because God is a Trinity. Three persons in one God. God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you who belong to Him. Those who are in the flesh do not belong to the Lord. So you can see that there's a major distinction between those who are of the household of Christ and those who are not. And the distinction is not complicated. It's wonderful. You have the Spirit of the living God indwelling you. Where the Christian is, the Holy Spirit is. I know that God loves the entire world. I know that God loves the entire world. But listen, folks. Only people who have repented, only people who have received Christ as their personal Savior are His. It's a question of belonging. Who do you belong to? Right? It says none of His. If you have the Holy Spirit not living in you, you are not His. That's what God says. And so a person who is none of His can believe on Christ by repenting and trusting in Christ, trusting the cross, and immediately becoming saved. And when you're saved, the Spirit comes to live within you. So who do you belong to? Are you His? You say, well, how do I know I'm His? And I answer to you this question, this answer. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You see, that goes past your mind. Think about it. That goes past your imagination. That goes into your spirit. So if you've never received Christ as your Savior, if you have never believed on Him, if you've not repented, why would anyone linger a single moment past, I heard the gospel today and I believed it? I don't know. If a person hears about Christ and trusts His crucifixion and His burial, His resurrection and His ascension, when you acknowledge that you are a sinner and that Christ has taken care of your sins, wow, you now are in the Spirit, no longer in the flesh. That's what God says. I say to you this morning, some are in the Spirit and some are in the flesh. Now you know where you are. I don't know where you are. God knows where you are. Isn't that great? This is the living Word of God. It's going right to your spirit today. The second thing is, since Christ is in you, verse 10 says your body is dead because of sin. Look again at verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead. Use that word mortal. You heard me say it before. The word mortal is the Latin word for dead. The body is dead. There's a deadness to our persons. The spirit is life because of righteousness, but the body is dead because of sin. I know, and you know, you were born in sin, and you sin by choice, and you sin by habit, and you sin by nature, and you sin by history, and your life is a life of a sinner. Sin indwells the body. Sin always brings death. Sin always brings death. But once you are saved and once you have become righteous by faith in Christ, you have life in your spirit. Your spirit is alive to God because God put within you righteousness. Oh, really, Pastor? Really? It's just a question of whether or not you really believe it. I don't think anything can be more wonderful to a person than that they can have life and righteousness. You have life, you have righteousness. You have righteousness, you have life. You have God's life. You have God's righteousness. You're a new creation in Christ. Paul says this very, very simple truth. Your body is dead. That means sin operates through your body. Every time you give in to sin, you're in essence giving in to death. Opposite. Every time you give in to righteousness, you're giving in to life. Can anybody see with me? Life, righteousness, death, sin. First, some are in the spirit, some are in the flesh. Second, since Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Third, the Holy Spirit will one day make alive your body. That's what he says. Just like he had a quickened body after his resurrection. Look at this. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead... Now, isn't that true? If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your dead bodies by his spirit that dwells within you. I guess probably the majority of us don't even want to acknowledge that our body is dead because of sin. Actually, we think we're so good. We do so many good things. We're good. We're good. Body, dead because of sin. Spirit, life because of righteousness. Actually, I found a verse over in the book of Romans chapter 6 where Paul calls this body the body of this death. So please remember, every time you use the word mortal, it's saying dead. Not just physically dying, although that is true too. But one of these days, Christ is going to return. There's going to be a rapture of the church. And the Bible says that later on in the book of Romans, later on in Romans chapter 8, it's going to say that the body of the Christian is going to become alive. I don't know how all this happens. You know how all this happens? And you know a whole lot more than the rest of us. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it will happen. I know it will happen. That I know. It's called the redemption of the body. I'll get there on another day, a little further along in Romans. But please note with me these words in 1 Corinthians 15. I love this passage. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised to no more death. Incorruptible, we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a word of Scripture. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the only one who can really rejoice at a funeral, think about how marvelous this is, the only one who can truly rejoice at a funeral is a believer. Because the death of the body is not the end. I have had lots of funerals in my life. I have some beautiful, glorious, wonderful funerals. And I have had funerals where there was so much wailing and crying and sadness. Now, it is good to grieve. But the Bible says we don't grieve as the world grieves. But the body is not the end. Listen, folks, God has a plan for your life after your death. He has a plan for your life now, but He also has a plan for your life after your death. First, the Bible says this. It says, the sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So first, some are in the flesh, some are in the spirit. Since Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive. The Holy Spirit will one day quicken your body just like He's quickened your spirit. And then Paul says this, since the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you are obligated to live after and according to the Spirit and not after and according to the flesh. That's verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You're obligated to live by the Spirit. You are a debtor. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We're obligated. Who's influencing you? should answer the question for you in your spirit today. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to influence you? That will tell you how marvelous this business of obligation is. If the Holy Spirit is influencing you, that means you're obligated to do what He says. So ask yourself the question, are you obligated to the Spirit? Yes, I am obligated to the Spirit. Completely surrender yourself to Him. And He is perfectly able to handle anything that comes into your life. Are you obligated to the Spirit? The Bible says this in chapter 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, likewise reckon, count true what is true, ye yourselves to be dead, indeed, to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So stop letting sin have dominion in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Folks, when you miss out on the ministry of the Spirit of God, listening to His voice, you miss out on life. You really miss out on life. You see, everyone here today who abides in the verses that I have shared with you from the Scripture is being led by the Spirit. Let me point this out to you in the next point. Paul says this, if you do this, then are you being led by the Spirit of God. Honestly, folks, I have heard numerous sermons on the leading of the Lord. I can't say, as I remember, hardly any sermons that I've heard about Romans 8, 9 through 14, where somebody said, the Bible says that when you do this, then you are led by the Spirit. But what does it say in the verse? In verse 14, the Bible says this, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I, folks, wonder sometimes when some preachers and some teachers of the Bible teach all sorts of stuff about the leading of the Spirit and the leading of God. Leading this. Listen, folks, I'm not going to discount what people mean when they say they're being led by the Spirit. What I am saying, though, is that the Bible says that if you apply Romans 8, 9 to 13, for as many as are led by the Spirit, that's what it means to be led by His Spirit. I think sometimes some preachers mistakenly give us the idea that being led by the Spirit is something extra for the Christian life. You know what the truth is, folks? It's the normal Christian life to be led by the Spirit. Not something extra. Once in a while, I'm being led. Everyone who abides in these words is led by the Spirit of God. I know that because of a little tiny word, for. For is an explanatory statement. It's not that difficult. It's an explanatory. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God, says the Apostle Paul. This is the normal Christian life. Let me add 1 Corinthians 6:19 here. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, which is in you, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, folks, this is true of all of us, okay? When we all finally see that our way doesn't work, and we'll cry out to God for His way. And it's true, for many of us, it takes years. I will tell you this honestly. We listen to far too many preachers. Read the Word of God. Ask the Spirit of God to teach you His Word. That doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to preachers. I don't want to be too far off on that part of it, because it is important for you to listen to preaching like I do. Be led by the Spirit. So ask yourself the question this morning, is the Holy Spirit influencing you right now, or are you being influenced by the flesh? I don't think it's complicated. Honestly, I don't. It's a matter, though, of complete surrender. Those of you who only want to partially surrender your life to the Lord, those are the ones who are going to have far more grief than you can imagine in your spirit. You completely surrender, you're going to find out that the Bible says you can be led by His Spirit. He does want you to be influenced completely by the Spirit of God. By the way, He is the owner of your body and your spirit. You live in somebody else's house. And He just wants full control of you. That's all. He just wants full control of your life. Nothing else is worth considering. He wants full control of your life. Now, He wants full control of my life as well. Just a short while back, my wife and I had an opportunity to talk to two ladies here in town about the Lord. So as we began our conversation, we talked about the simple difference between religion all across the globe and relationship with God. And the religion, all religions, are doing something for God. I'm doing something for God. That's what religion means. It means to bind yourself to God. But those who have a relationship with God have a sense in their spirit that God is the one who has done something for them and is constantly doing something for us. That's relationship. God is the one who is doing something for us. Go to the cross, right? What do you see? God's doing something for us. All begins at the cross. So the difference between every religion in the world and having a relationship with God is, and I'll tell you, folks, I have met them all over the history of my Christian life, the Christians think that they have to do something for God. Bible teaches us God does something for us. Found an interesting passage that shows this. It's in John chapter 15 that says this: abide in me. Abide means remain, stay, linger, do not leave the fellowship of me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, because, there's that little word again, because you can only do some things without me. That's the Christian church interpretation of the Greek language here. We think we can do some things, and Jesus says, you can do nothing apart from Him. I hope that's getting into your spirit today. So you say, who indwells you? I say, whose house do you live in? You're living in His house. And just exactly like Jesus was totally dependent upon the Father, totally dependent upon the Father, when you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are totally dependent upon Christ. Like a branch is connected to the vine. Can a branch do anything? How many think here that a branch can do something? I know you're going to say, I know what a branch is for, but can a branch do anything? What can a branch do? I think I heard it. Feed off the vine. So the branch can do something. That's right, the branch can do something. It can feed off the vine. Listen, a branch doesn't have to fight against a branch doesn't have to fight against the vine. All the branch can do is to wait on the vine dresser, your Heavenly Father, to tend you. Would you please just let Him tend you? Let Him tend you. Let Him take care of you like you were a branch. Let Him tend you. He knows exactly how to nourish, how to trim, how to work on you. Your Heavenly Father is able to work on millions of branches at the very same moment. And you're just one of those branches. Imagine what it would be like to be one branch among millions of branches and the Heavenly Father, who is the farmer, working on one branch. You! You think God can work on Chinese branches? How about Peruvian branches? How about Canadian branches? How about American branches? How about German branches? How about French branches? He can work on every single branch, every single hour of every single day. So if you will just stop being whatever, just be a branch, and you will find the truth of Romans chapter 8. Just be a branch. Just be a branch. Zechariah says this, then he answered and spoke unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So, of course, I ask questions. I want to ask questions because I know what's going on in your spirit today. Who wants the life of the Spirit from Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 14? It's yours already. All you have to do is to stop this self-orientation and realize He just wants you to completely surrender to Him. God has created you with a spirit, and His Spirit is right now dwelling within your spirit. And if you are letting the flesh influence you, you are not being led by the Spirit. Now listen, God's voice is not audible. Yes, it was in past times. And God does speak through the thunder. He does speak through the earthquake. He does speak through the fire. Absolutely. But His voice is almost so quiet, it's imperceptible. You almost have to just stop everything and listen. Quietly listen to God speaking to your spirit. Let me close up with this. Jesus had some very interesting things to say to all sorts of people that He came in contact with. But I'll tell you, this might be among the most important. Whoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own life? That word soul there is the same word life. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? God has made you as wonderful as He has made you for His purposes. And I know there are plenty of Christians that don't have any time for the Spirit. They don't have any time for God's Word. And I know that there are plenty of Christians that have their own ways. And we all think our ways are better than God's until we finally realize that God's ways are better than ours. And if He says absolute surrender, He means act like a branch. Just go out today and be a branch. Just go out today and just count yourself a branch. Maybe you could even pray a prayer, Lord, I'm your branch. Just pray a little prayer. I'm your branch. Here it is this morning. Lord, I'm listening. I completely surrender the rights to myself to you. Speak to me, and I will follow your leading. Pray this prayer for this coming week. And what should I put for a closing picture but a beautiful grapevine with all sorts of grapes on it? Because all you are a branch. Oh yeah, you're more than that. But when it comes to the matter of depending upon God, it's just a matter of being a branch.